Madam Chair, again, we will draft resolutions for you to take action on tomorrow, once we have those completed and get those in front of you.
Very good. All right, we're going to continue down our agenda. Number 10, bighorn sheep hunting season. And hopefully some of our technical issues have been worked out. And whenever the team is ready and you're ready to go, go ahead and start.
Okay, Madam Chair, Commission, Secretary Roebling, can you hear me?
We can, yes. Welcome back.
All right. We'll go ahead and try and revisit this information item here. This is bighorn sheep management. And we're going to provide information here that's going to support the recommendation that we're going to hear from Andrew here in a couple minutes. As I mentioned before, we've got five primary herds in the Black Hills and one herd out there on the Western Prairie in the Badlands area. Next slide. And how we gather most of our information is through surveys and monitoring. And a lot of our data that I'm going to present in the next slide comes from minimum ground counts that we collect on lamb to ewe ratios, ram to ewe ratios. And then also we have a herd on Elk Mountain where we use radial telemetry with radio collars and mark resight to give us an estimate of population size. Now these ground counts are used to estimate the minimum numbers, and of course in most cases we would obviously think there'd be more animals on the landscape than what we're presenting with the minimum counts, but it does provide us with some information to use. So we usually, when we do these counts, we try and classify animals as lambs, ewes, and then rams. And we further classify the rams based on their maturity level, either as a class one, class two, class three, or what you would consider, a really old, 5, 6, 7 year old plus ram that would have almost a full curl and a mature, body size. Next slide. And here's the results of the survey data from this past fall, early winter. The sightability model using our radio collars, we had 138 animals estimated with a confidence interval of roughly 60 animals to an upper confidence limit of 340. And then in the table below that, you'll see our minimum count totals in the one column right before the lamb to ewe and ram to ewe ratios for all of the herds. And in the primary herds that we're looking at here would be the Rapid City total, the Badlands herd, which we currently don't have great data on that because we're amidst a disease die-off out there. And we've just got, a minimum total count of roughly 60 to 70 sheep while we're doing the research out there. Elk Mountain, Hell Canyon, Custer State Park, and Deadwood. And I'll key in on the lamb to ewe and ram to ewe ratios. If you look at those numbers there out of the individuals counted, those numbers represent fairly high lamb to ewe ratios. And in a couple instances, they're really high ram to ewe ratios. So that data is telling us that for the most part, outside of the herds that are under disease events, we're in pretty healthy condition there with lambs and rams. Next slide. And so here are the open units currently that we have in the Black Hills. The Badlands unit, of course, is closed, but we have the Custer State Park unit, which is the CBS CU1 unit there, the Elk Mountain unit, which would be the BH4 unit, the Hell Canyon unit would be the BH4 unit, and then the Elk Mountain unit would be the BH2 unit. Next slide. And then for harvest recommendations, we're going to recommend 4 licenses for Custer State Park, 8 licenses for Hell Canyon, 3 for Elk Mountain. Recommend maintaining the 1 auction license, so we would have a total then of 16 licenses. And so we've seen some increases over the previous recommendation from 2 years ago in both Custer State Park and Hell Canyon. We're recommending one additional license in Custer State Park, and that has been justified primarily because we've had seen really good lamb to ewe production the previous years, and then also we minimum counted 14 class 3 rams and class 4 rams. So those are the older age class rams, and so we've got those older age classes available in Custer State Park. And then we jumped from 4 licenses to 8 licenses in Hell Canyon, and we're seeing really good lamb to ewe ratio data there that supports good reproduction. And then, of course, we min counted 17 class 3 and class 4 rams. So we've got those older age classes available for those herds as well. Next slide. Okay, and that appears to be the end of my primary slides, so we'll take any questions.
Very good, thank you. Commissioner
Beese. Commissioner Beese here. Chad, regarding the Rapid City herd, how many years has it been since we've had any license in that unit?
I'm not positive, but I think it's 4 years. I think we've missed 2 CRD cycles now. I believe it's 4.
And with that, what's the oldest age class of rams in that herd, do you know?
Yes, we do have several class 4 rams in Rapid City. So we missed some years of reproduction based on the disease event that we had, you know, back from 09 to, you know, the late 2010s. But we do have some older rams still wandering around. So we don't have a lot of rams, but we do have a handful of older ones.
So I guess my question is, you know, with the population minimum is at 45 in Rapid City herd and 37 in Custer State Park. If you have rams that are that old, wouldn't it be available to have one or two of those rams available for hunters instead of, you know, when do they become non-breeders and die of old age if we could have a hunter or two in there taking a couple of those?
No, those are really good points, Commissioner Bees. I think we've discussed that internally, I know, among some of our staff, and I know there has been some concern with the subdivision and the increase in the amount of development of housing and where those animals are located. You know, a lot of those animals in Rapid City, that Spring Creek, Rapid Creek herd, they spend a lot of time right there in town, and one of the concerns would be obviously harvesting these animals in that suburban environment, but certainly we could revisit that and discuss that internally, and I know we have talked about it, but we would definitely take that suggestion and discuss it some more.
Just a follow-up question, is there any been, since they are an urban herd and, you know, discharging firearms, you know, close to developments about making an archery only tag?
Absolutely. That's another great suggestion, and I think we should take that and discuss it more internally. Absolutely.
Any other questions?
Chair.
Commissioner Spring.
Well, I was told that that Badlands herd was kind of scattering out, to talk to a landowner down there, and said that they seem to be crossing his ground, and someone went to the reservation. Is there any truth to that, or are they confined better than that? According to him, there was a lot of them just traveling the country.
No, yeah, that's a great question. They are definitely what we call the North Unit, South Unit herd. We've got sheep that are on the Ogle Little Sioux Recreation and Authority that they're also part of this study that we're doing. And so we definitely have what we call the North Unit, which would be the Northern Badlands National Park, U.S. Forest Service ground, private ground herd. And then we also have the herd that is in the South Unit or down there with Ospra. And so we are collecting data from both herds. And we do know, based on our telemetry data, that the animals do move back and forth from the north unit to the south unit, and then, of course, elsewhere out on the prairie. So that's part of the research that we're doing right now.
Any other questions or comments? So we do have the recommendations before us. Were we going to hear from Commissioner Whitmire?
Maybe more a question for Director Kirschman or, on this and then some other proposals that we've got looking ahead on the MAX licenses. Do we need that MAX out there? I mean, we're looking at raising that on sheep, but we've got some elk ones coming up too. Does that serve, what purpose does that serve, I guess? Because I feel these decisions are, we highly rely on staff and our biologists to give us those numbers who are going to know much more than we do. And so I just don't see that getting out of line ever. And instead of raising all of these, I'm just wondering if they serve a purpose, I guess, or whatnot.
Madam Chair. Commissioner Whitmire, excellent question. So the whole concept behind asking in bighorn sheep and then when we get into the elk hunting seasons as well to make those adjustments to the maximum number of licenses that can be issued by license type, and for example in the elk, when we get to that, it's by any elk or cow elk type licenses within those respective seasons. The reason we have that in administrative rule like that and why we're asking you to make adjustments is based on where we stand right now, and in the case of bighorn sheep, we want to offer some additional hunting opportunities, which means more licenses to offer. By elevating the maximum number in administrative rule, it gives you and us the capability when we're making the final determination to move anywhere underneath that maximum cap. And right now, we're pushing that limit of what the maximum cap is. So we want to move that up so we have that ability over the next couple of years and this year to issue what we believe would be the appropriate number of licenses by unit. And so, but why we have it like that is because of the flexibility. There was a time, you may recall, when elk, deer, turkey, whatever antelope, whatever season we were talking about, we had the individual units listed in administrative rule. We had by unit then the number of licenses by license type. So if we had four or five license types in individual unit, we had all of that spelled out in rule. And what we learned is it's just not necessary to have that, all those details in administrative rule. It creates the opportunity for more error or miss something as well. So what we do now is an administrative rule for that respective season, we have a cap in there. It says no more than X number of this type of licenses, no more than these types of licenses. Then staff works to develop the recommendations, come to you through administrative action by the number of licenses, by license type, by units. And then you and us as an agency can discuss them, and we have greater flexibility to adjust them as long as it falls within the parameter set in administrative rule. It says the maximum number of license types within each respective season. So it gives us greater flexibility, and just because the number might say 20 or 25, that doesn't mean we're going to issue 20. It's going to mean no more than 20, and we'll figure out the right number below there. But if we have to go down, for example, something catastrophic happens, and we have to go from 15 down to 8, for example, we don't have to go into administrative rule and make that change again, right? Just go from 15 to 8. It still falls within that parameter that's set in the administrative rule, and then you can do accordingly and okay the number of licenses by unit by season. So it gives you, the commission, greater flexibility, and it gives us the ability to do the licenses without having to go back through the administrative rule process each and individual time to make a change to one individual number.
Well, I guess I was not understanding why we need to stop ourselves. I guess I don't understand why we even need a cap, because it's always going to be biologically based.
Sorry if I misunderstood you, Commissioner Whitmire. So the reason that we do have a number in there, max number, is that there is other state statute language that says that we have to put in the license numbers for respective seasons within the administrative rule process. And that's why we go by the number of licenses by license type in for each season. in administrative rule. Because it does require us to put license numbers in there. We probably went to the extreme in the years past by going by unit with all license types, with all the numbers individually in administrative rule. So we're still meeting the requirements of statute that directs us to have the number of license numbers in there. We're putting in a framework that gives us a cap and we can work anywhere underneath it.
Yeah, I guess I just trust that we don't need a cap.
We do have to have a number in rule based on state statute language.
Okay,
yes. Yep.
Any other questions? I do see Andrew up there. Andrew, did you have more to provide?
Madam Chair, I would just share the action sheet at this point if the commission is ready for that, but if there's other discussion, I can wait as well.
Any other questions from the commission? Seeing none, no. Please move forward. Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, Commission, Secretary Roebling, again, this is Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator, and thanks, Director Kirschman and Chad there for providing some summaries. Just to build on what Director Kirschman was saying with these caps, how it might play out in reality to benefit us, changing gears really briefly to deer. So this year, usually we would open deer the administrative rule in March and then have that proposal for 2 months of public comment, and then in May we would finalize. We're not doing that this year, but if we choose to reduce some licenses, I know Commissioner Whitmire up in your neck of the woods, it was a severe winter last year, so if we would explore that, we have flexibility now where we don't have to open those chapters in March and we can wait till April and potentially take administrative action in May. So just showing an example of how that may play out. So you'll see that a lot, as it has been alluded to, in the bighorn sheep hunting season, as well as a lot of the elk hunting seasons. The chapters that bighorn sheep is specific to is 410601, 410607, and 410656. This is a four-month season from September 1 to the end of December. There are 16 licenses that were available last year. That are going to be proposed to be available this year. There was 11 last year, so that's an increase of 5 that Chad Lehman described, one of which is going to be an auction license. So the only recommendation we would ask the commission to take action on today is actually increasing that cap from no more than 11 ram bighorn sheep licenses to no more than 20. The intent is not to make a recommendation for 20, but that gives that flexibility. And then this would be open for more discussion at the March meeting, and then in April would be the finalization date for this change, where there'd hopefully be some opportunities to further discuss biological data if those become available.
All right, very good. Any questions for the proposed changes that Andrew talked about? Seeing none, we do need a motion to move forward and a second.
So
moved by Commissioner White.
Sorry.
Seconded by Commissioner Cole. Comments on that motion?
Yeah, since this won't be approved and these licenses until April then, right? Andrew, the final license quota.
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
Through the chair, yes. So we don't have a meeting in February, and then March would be more comments.
I agree with all the data and everything and the licenses you guys are proposing, but I would like to see some little bit more information on that Rapid City herd. If we could, you know, like I said, either do an archery or expand one or two licenses for the older rams that are in that herd, if we could by the next, before approval of this. But I do agree with the proposal.
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
We'll definitely discuss that with our internal staff meetings over the next 2 months, and we'll have some information for you at the next commission meeting.
Thank you.
All right, very good. The motion is to approve the proposed changes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? It is adopted. Thank you very much.